Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for listening to this highlight from Connecting Faith. If you'd like to hear the entire broadcast or to hear more highlights from our recent shows, you can go to our Connecting Faith program page on myfaithradio.com.
We've just seen really an astounding sort of response to the gospel in the last 5 or 10 years, just numbers that we've never seen before. And so we're very excited about that. And I think some of the keys with the millennials is that they're all looking for a community to which to belong. And we have a phrase that we say, belonging before believing. So you create environment where they can come in and they can seek, and often that's just an inductive small group Bible study where they can, it's student led, and they can sit in a dorm with six other students, and they can ask their questions as they look at a teaching of Jesus, for example, and they love that. International students love that too. By the way, we have about 800,000 international students in this country, and we're seeing them respond as well. This generation is also missional, so you can appeal to their idealism, to their sense of changing the world. And as you mentioned, they're also big into justice. And so we have projects like out of Boston where 500 students will get on a bus and go to New Orleans. We've been doing this for nearly a decade now, and half the students are not Christian. And it's defined to be a service project. They go down and they do building stuff. But they're having conversations on the way down. They're meeting with church people in New Orleans, and they're talking on the way back. And obviously that's going to have a huge impact on folks. So these are sort of the positive approaches to reaching this generation. And we're really seeing the Lord bless it. So in some ways, I feel a little like Charles Dickens. It's the best of times in terms of evangelism and outreach. It's the worst of times in terms of campus access.
Alec, maybe you can follow up and explain, what does it mean if you do not have campus access? I mean, what does that mean for a ministry like InterVarsity or Navigators or Crusade?
Yeah, I was going to come back to that, so thank you for doing so. Basically, loss of recognition means that we can't meet on campus for free. So currently, and this was a 1970s Supreme Court decision, we're allowed to use campus facilities. We're allowed to post on campus for the meetings and let people know. We have access to freshmen at freshman orientation, which is a big deal. If freshmen don't get connected in their first 2 weeks, it's much, much harder to reach them afterwards. And then just psychologically being part of the community means that if you go to the university website, there's InterVarsity. We're part and parcel of what we call the pond, the university, and we're one of the animals or plants that lives there. The counterbalance to that is at Vanderbilt, where we've been de-recognized along with 13 other ministries. We have to meet off campus. Telling students about our meetings and the Bible studies is much more difficult and challenging. We're doing it. So derecognition does not kill ministry, it just hampers it. And if it's the wave of the future, I hope it's not, we are having lots of conversation about adjusting to that new reality.
And, I mean, everybody is this primarily just faith-based ministries that are being faced with the derecognition at this point?
Well, in theory, let's say you're a Latino group and you basically assume that your leadership will always be Latino. Well, often you may just sign the form and kind of, you know, look at each other and smile because, you know, 100% of your people are Latinos, and you know you're going to. But in theory, it could mean other groups based on political ethnicity, the rape relief group, for example, theoretically would have to have a former rapist being able to run for president. He wouldn't have to elect him, but he'd be able to run. So theoretically it applies to other groups, but it hits religious groups the most because I do think, you know, there's a core set of beliefs in our leaderships that just have to be met, and they're non-negotiables. And I think it's that fight for orthodoxy that's so passionate with us that is less passionate in the secular groups.
Thanks for listening to this podcast highlight from Connecting Faith. For more information about this podcast or other audio archives, you can visit our Connecting Faith show page on myfaithradio.com.